Okay, welcome to a new season of Parsha and Popcorn. I just want to, I guess, remind you, Parsha and Popcorn meets officially 12:11, if we can get here on time. That's the hope. I know sometimes there's a line in the dining hall and it takes a little bit longer, but let's try to make it here as soon as we can so that we can begin. Another thing about Parsha and Popcorn I want you to know is I don't view this as like a Dvar Torah, just getting up there and giving a Dvar Torah. The messages that I give over at Parsha and Popcorn are what I feel like are the yesodos, the important messages that we need to hear, that are important to hear. And that's why I don't make it something that everybody has to come to. I only want those who want to hear the message come to hear the message. This is not something I want to force on anyone. I want you to be here because you want to be here. And maybe you even like popcorn. That's also a good thing. Okay, I wanted to start with I'll tell you the title of what I want to talk about today is, the title today is important, specifically because it's called Towards an Understanding of the Mitzvah of Destroying Amalek. Many have struggled with the idea that Hashem, who we refer to as Kulo Tov, completely good. Everything Hashem does is for the best. When Hashem gives us a commandment, it's Tov. The Torah is described as Diracheha Darchei Noam. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. In fact, Rav Avram Pam, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas, there's a picture of him on my wall in my room. Rav Pam used to say, Rav Pam was the epitome of being pleasant. Rav Pam used to say, if it's not Noam, it's not Torah, by definition. So we struggle. How could it be that the Torah asks us to kill a whole nation? Now, I understand there are enemies, but a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, to kill people? How could that be pleasant? How do we understand that that's good? The reason I write towards an understanding is because I'm not really going to address that question from a technical standpoint. That's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is plant a general concept that we need to always realize. And with that general concept, it'll help us approach the problem, the struggle that we have. Okay, and here goes. So again, the end of this week's parasha, Zachor is Asher Asa Lecha Amalek Baderech B'Tzeis Chem. In time, we have to remember what Amalek did to us. Asher Karcha Baderech, they were cold to us on the way. Rashi describes cold because they cooled off, so to speak. We were on fire, if you will, like a hot bath that nobody wants to touch. The first person goes in, they get burned, but then it's cooler for everybody else. So they cooled us off, so to speak. We were on fire. Nobody was willing to fight with us, argue with us, and that was it. Asher karcha baderech, they did that. Vayizanev mechol kol anecha shalom acharecha v'ata oyef yogeh, you were tired and weary, v'lo yore elokim, and here's the key words, Timcha Zechar Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim, destroy, wipe out, erase the remembrance of Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim, Lo Tishkach, don't forget to do that. Okay. There's an obligation to destroy Amalek, this week's Parsha. How do we understand? We remind ourselves of this before Purim every year. We read this. This is the reading, the Torah reading for the Maftir, right before Purim, Shabbos before Purim, Parsha Zachor. And that's a mitzvah that we have every single year. How do we understand this? So I want to go back to Parshas Chukas. The beginning of Parshas Chukas tells us about the Parah Aduma. And Rashi on that Pasuk, the first Pasuk in Parshas Chukas, says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the Chok. We know a Chok is something that we don't understand. Why does the Torah tell us that it's a Chok? Why not just tell us the law and let us try to figure it out? Rashi says, Lefi shahasatan v'umos ha'olam monin es Yisrael lomar mahamitzvah hazos umatam yesh ba. Because the Satan and the nations of the world are going to make fun of us. They're going to degrade us. Why would you keep that mitzvah? Why would you do things that make no sense? I understand that you have an obligation to honor your parents. I understand that you have an obligation to give charity, to do kindness, to be righteous. That I understand. You have an obligation when somebody came in contact with a dead body to burn a red cow and sprinkle the ashes on his head on the third and seventh day of his purity process? Really? That's the most ridiculous, absurd thing. And the chok of it is that the person who you sprinkle the ashes on becomes pure, and the guy who sprinkles the ashes becomes impure. How does that make sense? Lefichach kasav b'chukah. That's why, says Rashi, the Torah tells us that it's a chok. Meaning, the Torah is preparing you. Get ready. Somebody's going to come over to you and say, you know that thing you do? It's ridiculous. How could you be part of such a people that have ridiculous laws? Be ready for it. And when he says that, your answer is, this is what Hashem said. I don't understand it, but I do it because Hashem said so. Gezeira hi milfanai. It is a decree for me, before me. Ein lecha rishus laharer achara. Don't try to overthink it. Don't have questions on it. Leave it be. It's a problem. You don't understand it. That's okay. You know that you don't understand it. Now let's fast forward to a few weeks ago, Parshas Ve'eschanan. The Pasuk says, Re'ei limadati eschem chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. See that I have taught you chukim and mishpatim. Chukim are laws that we don't understand. Mishpatim, laws that make sense. Kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai, to us, makes sense to us. Kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai, like Hashem commanded me, la'asos kein bekerav ha'aretz, asher atem bo'im shama l'rishta. Like you did in the land, that you came here, there, to inherit. And then the next pasuk says, and listen carefully to the way the pasuk describes it, u'shmartem va'asitem, and you should guard them, and you should do them, referring to these mitzvos. Ki hi chachmaschem uvinaschem. It is the wisdom and your understanding, le'enei ha'amim. In the eyes of the nations, doing these commandments, they're going to say, oh, he's a chacham, he's wise, and he has bina, he has understanding, he gets it, he understands the world. Asher yishma'un is kol ha chukim ha'ela, that you keep all of the chukim. V'amru, and they say, the non-Jews will say to us, rak am chacham v'navon, Hagoy Hagadol Hazeh. This great nation is an Am Chacham V'Navon, a wise, understanding nation. They're going to say that we're a wise, understanding nation. They're going to look at the Jews and say, wow, look at these people. They really get it. Let's go back a few psukim. Asher Yishma'un, because you listen as Kol HaChukim Ha'ela. You understand all of these laws. You understand all of these laws. These chukim, the ones that don't make sense. When you keep those laws, the ones that don't make sense, you know what the non-Jews are going to say about you? Wow. Look at these people. They're so smart. They're so wise. One second. Rashi told us at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, get ready for battle. I'm going to give you a halacha. It's not going to make sense. You're not going to understand it. And the non-Jews are going to come to you and say, why would you keep such ridiculous laws? Why would you be part of a religion that does such ridiculous things? And then in Va'eschanan, the Pasuk says, you're going to keep the mitzvahs, you're going to keep the chukim and the mishpatim, and that's your chachma and bina le'enei amim. That's how they're going to see, wow, you're so wise. After the end, okay? Because asher yishma'un is called hachukim ha'ela. You're going to listen to the chok, and then they're going to say, wow, look at these people. Amazing. So the question is, I understand, which one is it? Are they going to make fun of you? Or are they going to say, wow, you guys are amazing, the Jewish people. What a special people. That's the question. The Mefarshim deal with this question. I actually heard this question first over the summer from a friend of mine whose name is Corey Tarzik. He's actually, Jeremy's in sixth grade, so it's his uncle. You know him. You know Mrs. Morisara over here? Her husband told me this Dvar Torah. He told me this idea on his own, and then I saw it in a couple of Sfarim. I saw it in the Sefer Darkei Musar from Rav Yaakov Naiman. I saw a similar idea also in the Sefer called Me'orei Sha'arim from Rav Lev Gerwitz, who was a Rosh Hashiva in Gateshead in England. And this is the basic idea. The answer is that when you look at one piece of the puzzle, it doesn't make sense. You look at one halacha. If you only know about one halacha, how does that make sense? You put the ashes on the guy's head, he becomes pure, you become impure. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. But when you look at the Jewish people as a whole, and you look at what they've accomplished, and you look to see how we've thrived over the years, amid persecution, they have a whole... they being us, meaning the non-Jews will say about us, look at the system they have in place. Everything works perfectly. look at what they've accomplished in society. Look what they've accomplished to remain intact. Still, after all these millennia and people trying to destroy us in every generation, look at how accomplished we are. We must have the right recipe. When you look at a recipe, it's got a lot of ingredients, and you point to one recipe and you say, what in the world would you put that into this recipe? And you look at another ingredient, you say, what in the world would you look at that recipe? But then when you put all the ingredients together and you taste it, you say, you know what? They got it perfectly right. The recipe is perfect. They can't explain why this little thing here or that little thing here, it doesn't make sense. But when you put it all together, it's delicious. And it's the same thing with us and our Torah. Some of the parts of the Torah, you look and you say, keep it avim. What a beautiful thing to do. What a wonderful mitzvah. And chesed is great. And even Torah and tefillah, even though it's not bein adam l'chaveiro, but we could still understand the concept of talking to God, davening to God, learning the word of God, learning the laws that we need to know to keep, to follow. Okay? We have this week's parsha. You have to build a makeh. Okay? You have to build a wall to protect yourself, okay, on the roof of your house to make sure that nobody falls off. It's a nice rule. It's a great rule. It fits perfectly. Makes sense. But then you have some of the rules, and they just, you're like, why is that here? What is he doing that for? And what's that all about? But when you look at the whole Torah, the whole halacha, the whole Jewish people, and you say, you know what? I can't explain every single detail, but when I look at these people, they're doing it right. I don't know exactly, but they've got it right, okay? And that's the answer to the question. When they look at the mitzvah of Parah Adumah, they're going to look and say, Parah Adumah? It doesn't make sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Why is he pure? Why is he impure? Ashes from a cow are going to make you pure? Like, that's really? What does that even mean? But then when they look at the Jewish people as a whole unit, as a whole concept, you have 613 mitzvahs from the Torah, you have a Torah Sheba'al Peh, you have a Mishnah and a Gemara. And a lot of times you read a Mishnah and a Gemara, you're like, that's random, why would that be? I don't understand what this means. It could be you don't understand, but as a whole, in the big picture, you know that it fits in somewhere. I think that helps us towards understanding. How could there be a mitzvah of destroying Amalek? I'll tell you this. I'm not going to answer the question, but I'll tell you this. If you see and you know that Hashem gave us all the mitzvos, and Hashem is kulo tov, he's completely good, 100%. And you know that Hashem is a whole system and everything in the Torah is from Hashem's command. Well, now all of a sudden you can say, I don't understand it. I know it's right though. I know it's the right thing to do. My brain still can't process why it's good, why it's the right thing, why it makes sense. By the way, it doesn't apply nowadays. We don't know who Amalek is. The Rambam talks about this. All the postmen talk about this. The mitzvah practically doesn't apply now. Okay? But the concept that we would ever be commanded to do such a thing, and in history we were. Shaul HaMelech was commanded to destroy Amalek, and that was a shortcoming of his, that he let Agag live. But that's a commandment of ours. How could it even be a commandment to hurt another person, let alone destroy a nation? And the answer is, I don't know, but I know that this system is pure and 100% MS, 100% true and correct. And once I know that within the broader, so there might be a point here or a point there that doesn't work for me, but I know that it's right, and now I know I don't understand it, but I'm okay with that. I'll try to understand it when I get older. You know, sometimes you learn a lot of different sugyas in the Gemara. You learn a lot of Gemaras, and something just doesn't sit well with you. Well, do you say, the Gemara is all off? Or do you say, no, there's something much deeper here. There's something I must be missing. And maybe I don't understand it, but it's okay to not understand everything. We're mortal. We have human minds. Human minds are very talented, very, very powerful, but limited in certain ways. There are certain things we can't understand. But if we know that we're part of a system, and if we just do this, it'll work, even if we don't understand it, then we have an easier time working on those mitzvos, keeping those mitzvos. That, I think, is and I said we're going to answer it in a general way. Sometimes we come across parts of our religion which seem to be Did it really have to be this way? Sometimes it's a little bit more challenging, or we don't understand why it is. Whether it's a mitzvah like destroying Amalek, or it's a mitzvah like Parah Aduma, but nobody's getting hurt, except for the cow, but nobody's getting hurt in that way. It's not a bad thing. I mean, we bring karbanos all the time, so nobody's getting hurt, but it just doesn't make sense to us. But that's okay, because Hashem is in charge of it. Hashem commanded it, so Hashem knows why it is that this has to happen. Kind of like the chef that knows you have to put that spice in, only a little bit, but it makes all the difference in the world. And if you leave it out, the whole dish doesn't taste right. And for the amateur, you look at that and you're like, yeah, but even if you leave that out, why should that make a difference? That's because you don't understand the whole thing. As long as you trust that the chef knows exactly what he's doing, and everything that goes into the dish belongs, then you'll be okay. I just want to end. I want to give another answer, which is similar to our answer. This answer comes from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was the son-in-law of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And about 25 years ago or so, there was a symposium about what your source of faith is in Judaism. And his response was an essay called "The Source of Faith is Faith Alone." Basically there, he described something so powerful. Very important essay. Maybe when you're older, you'll read it. I'm just going to give you one paragraph that relates to us. But he says the source of his emunah and Hashem were his role models, his Rebbeim. He says Rav Huttner, I think he says Rav Huttner, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who's the brother of Rav Soloveitchik, I guess that was his uncle, served as role models. He looked at them and he said, if Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach believes in God, then I believe in God. Right? That's, you see my pictures on the wall? Those are my people I look up to and I say, wow, there's Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chanan Wasserman, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Slonim Rebbe, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. When I see these people, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, who I knew, when I see these people, I say, these people, holy, saintly, righteous people, huge Talmidei Chachamim, if they believe in Hashem and that's the derech that they chose, I want to be on their team. That's why I have those pictures. They remind me of the team that I'm on. And he says something so powerful. He says, at one point during my late teens, this is Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein talking, I was troubled by certain ethical questions concerning the destruction of Amalek. In other words, a teenager, he's getting into learning, and all of a sudden he says, one second. I think Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, by his teenage years, he was well on in his learning. I don't think he was getting into it. I think he was ahead of the game then. But he looks and he says, how could it be if this Torah is a Torah of chesed? Like the Gemara says, the Torah starts with chesed, the Torah ends with chesed, it starts with the creation of the world, that's the ultimate chesed, giving to everybody. It ends with Hashem burying Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a chesed. The Torah is all about chesed. Yeah, what about Parshas Ki Tetzeh, when Hashem says, why don't you kill an entire nation? Where's the chesed there? And you could see how a teenager who's struggling to identify who he is and what he associates with, what he identifies with, all of a sudden, he's troubled. This is a Torah of chesed, killing a whole nation, and he struggled with it. And he said, I was troubled by certain, okay? And he said, I then recall having recently read that Reb Chaim Brisker, that's Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, I have a picture of him on my wall, he passed away, I think 101 years ago or something, in the 1918, maybe something like that. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, he said, I recently read Rav Chaim Brisker would awaken nightly to see if someone hadn't placed a foundling at his doorstep. Meaning, he was the Rav of the town of Brisk. And it was known that his house was open, anyone could come in. He was the ultimate Ish Chesed. On his grave, I think it says that he was an Ish Chesed. That was one of the... Now, he changed the course of history in yeshiva learning. But he viewed himself as somebody who did chesed for people. And he also, you know, like learned when he could. You know, he tried to learn on the side. He was a transformational Talmud Chacham. He changed the landscape of Torah learning for basically every yeshiva in the world, you know, 100 years later. But he was an Ish Chesed. So people knew that if you had a baby that you didn't want to take care of, guess what you did? You put it at Rav Chaim's doorstep, and Rav Chaim would take the baby into the house, feed the baby, and find a proper home for the baby, if not his own home. And that's what he would do. Rav Chaim Brisker would awaken nightly just to make sure he didn't hear a baby crying at the doorstep because somebody left a baby there. I knew that I slept quite soundly. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is saying, I have no problem sleeping through the night. I don't have such worries. And I concluded that if such a paragon of kindness coped with these laws, meaning that if Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had it within him that he was okay, that even though he was the type of guy that couldn't sleep at night because there might be a baby at his doorstep, and yet he knew that there was a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, and he was okay with it. Evidently, the source of my anxiety, meaning the fact that I was aggravated that Hashem could give us such a commandment, did not lie in my greater sensitivity. It wasn't because I was such a good, decent human being, but in my weaker faith. It's because my faith wasn't there. He looked towards Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was his father-in-law's grandfather, his wife's great-grandfather, the scion of the Brisk dynasty, and he said, if Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was this Ish Chesed, he was a kind man, he doesn't have a problem that God... He didn't say, oh, if God commands us to kill to kill Amalek, well, I can't be part of such a religion. He didn't think so. He thought that it was perfectly normal. So if he thought it was okay, and he's a bigger Ish Chesed than I am, then I'm okay with it. Why? I don't know that I understand it, but I know that it's okay. So that's how we have to approach things. It's the beginning of a year message. You have a lot going on. A lot of things are going to happen this way and that way. You have to realize that we're part of a greater system. And sometimes a little piece to the puzzle doesn't always make sense to us. It might be like a parah aduma or like a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. But at the end of the day, when we appreciate that we're part of a system given to us by Hashem, when we can look to our tzaddikim and say, they did it, they were okay with it, and they're my role models, as Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, then we could achieve a greater level of emunah and a greater level of bitachon, trust in Hashem, that the system works, and whatever Hashem commands us, we're going to do. Even though sometimes there's going to be a halacha that we don't fully understand. Have a wonderful Shabbos, guys.